Order. Mr. Ellis, would you please lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Board member Dan Smith is not able to attend the meeting in person due to an employment-related obligation. In accordance with District 41 policy, Mr. Smith notified the superintendent's office that he would not be physically present for the board meeting, but would like to participate in the meeting by phone. May I have a motion to approve Mr. Smith's participation by phone in tonight's meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Kenwood. Mr. Bondrack.
Here.
Mr. Coward.
Here.
Mr. Black.
Here.
Mr. Ellis.
Here.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes. Mrs. Stecker, please call the roll. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you.
Mr. Kenwood. Mr. Bondrack.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Mrs. Coward.
Yes.
Mr. Black.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson.
Yes. Are there any members of the public present who wish to address the board at this time? All right, thank you. First item, presentations, reports, and initiatives.
Well, this is our time each year that we bring to you the results of our annual survey. And this is our third year doing the survey. And Julie has, as she does each year, spends a great deal of time organizing it and looking for themes and pulling out the kernels for you to present in the executive summary. And so, Julie, it's all yours.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to do is just give you an overview of the executive summary. And this is the process that we use to find out what's important to our stakeholders and how can we improve. And so last spring, we conducted this survey for the third time. We did the same process that we had done in 2011. The only difference being that we did do it a little bit earlier in the year. We did it in March, April versus May. Other than that, we used the online process and we did the same stakeholder groups and it was the same process. And the survey is part of our long-range plan commitment to gathering satisfaction data regularly from our stakeholders and then using that in our planning and improvement processes in our teams for excellence, our school improvement planning, and really in all the initiatives that we work on. And kind of as a reminder, when we first started doing the online in-house survey, we decided that the ability to do it affordably so that we would actually do it every year and we would have that steady stream of data was offset the limitations of doing it ourselves in-house. So it's not a perfect process, but it does give us steady, consistent data that we can use. I do want to give a lot of thanks to Gail Infus, who was just so helpful with the analysis part of it. And she creates the index score so that we can at a glance look at the different items and see a single number that indicates the satisfaction level. She helps us with understanding the confidence level of each survey group and just a lot of other things. So, and the tech team is very helpful too. They have to do all the behind the scenes stuff related to posting the surveys and doing the registration process that the kids have to do. So it's an effort of a lot of people. So we did the students from grade 4 and up, and parents, the community, staff, and we try to do recent Catholic graduates, but we don't get too many of those to participate. The groups are not identical year to year, so while we're doing elementary parents, they're going to have a different composition, both from those who elected to take the survey and the fact that you have to turn over due to the kids going to school. So that's important to keep in mind. Our overall themes for the survey have really been the same for the 3 years that we've done the survey. Generally, there's satisfaction with our staff, our schools are safe and well-maintained, that they're a great place to work, people like their jobs, they're doing important work. There's an expectation of excellence in every regard, and not an acceptance of anything less than that. Concerns about social emotional elements in the schools, and concerns about our facilities and our finances. Satisfaction with the cleanliness and condition of our facilities for the most part, but concerns regarding the space. Your executive summary compares this year's results for 2012 to 2011. We don't use the first year because if you recall, we had some data issues with that really made it not directly comparable. The 2 years are there, and you can't look at it without making comparisons in your mind, but it doesn't mean anything yet. It's just 2 years of data. It's not a trend. We really can't say at this point if any changes in the data are going to continue or if it has much meaning or just just a little bit of difference. So try to keep that in mind as we look through this. The elements that we're talking about in the survey are really systemic, important systemic pieces that take years to change, 5 to 10 years to change. So we really wouldn't expect to see a big difference in our results just year to year. The results do not cover a big range. For the most part, they're pretty tightly clustered around between 3 and 4 out of a 5-point scale. The stakeholder group, the staff, which is the most closely connected to the district and the most knowledge, understandably, they have the highest levels of satisfaction. The community, which is less connected and has less information and understanding, on most aspects, has the lowest level. As we go through the summary, we start with the big picture measures, the key measures across the system that help give us an at-a-glance view. And then we go to the social-emotional, and then through each stakeholder group where we're looking at the highs and the lows and the degree of change. And again, when we get to those, you'll see there's not a lot of difference in range. Some other things to keep in mind is that these results are snapshot of at a point in time on the day when those individuals took the survey, so it's what they were thinking on that day. We really get the most value out of them in using it as a point for further inquiry and discussion and to open the conversation. And the respondents, particularly for parents and community, are not a scientifically selected random sample. They are the people. We extended an open invitation and we publicized it. These are the people that came forward and took the survey, but they don't match up with our demographic distribution, and they're not necessarily representative of that stakeholder group from that point of view. So that's something to keep in mind. And also that these are local results, and we're comparing them just to ourselves. We don't have a database that will tell us, well, this is what you should expect to do, or you're right on target there, or you're a little low for what we would think. We will have to figure that out for ourselves as we go along. We use the results in context with other sources of feedback. We get feedback all the time from our constituents through emails and conversations and working with them on committees and so forth. We do targeted surveys on distinct projects from time to time. So all of those things are sources of feedback that we would use along with the results really are very affirming of our direction when you look at the themes and you look at the projects that the district is undertaking with New Common Core and strengthening our curriculum, our work with PBIS and culture of care, the work on the facilities and the 21st century learning environments, the financial transparency and sustainability efforts and the work we've done to communicate that. So all of these things are very much reflected in the work that we're doing. So if you look at the system-wide questions on pages 4 and 5, that's where you see the big picture results for all the stakeholder groups at a glance. You can look year to year, and you can also look at how the different groups responded on a similar question. And that's where you see also very little change year to year, a compressed range of satisfaction levels clustering around that 3 to 4 numbers, and the higher rankings from staff and as compared to the community. But overall, we look like we're getting moderate to high moderate satisfaction levels. Mm-hmm. On the next page is the collection of questions relating to social emotional issues and school climate issues. We don't see any change really year to year on most of those questions. I think it's interesting that we didn't, because we put so much emphasis last year and continue to on be respectful, be responsible, be safe in our culture of care, and we had a bullying prevention training through the YWCA. And often you hear that when you start that kind of work and you give people the vocabulary and the knowledge to identify and the freedom to report it, and that, you know, you're making that something that is an acceptable thing to do, and raising awareness, that you would see a dip in those scores, because there would be more reporting of it, more awareness of it. People may realize that behaviors that they formerly thought were okay are not really okay. And we didn't see that. We saw a flat result. So I don't know what that means. That'd be something to look into a little further. Our staff satisfaction, for the most part, showed little change year to year. The scores range from a low of 3.1 to a high of 4.8. The response, again, confidence and response due to the numbers of response, and also it's pretty representative of our staff and assorted across our buildings. I will notice that some of the questions around decision making, we did see a little bit more of a difference there. And this survey was conducted right at the time that we were doing the restructuring for the tech aides and the library aides, and so that could have had an impact on the way people perceived the decision making, their satisfaction with decision making in the buildings. But that's a guess. I don't know for sure. Our two parent groups are very similar to one another. Elementary tends to rank a little higher in satisfaction, but the profile of things they think are important generally is very similar. The happy parents had more change than any other group this year, mostly to the positive. We don't know why that would be, but that is something that would be a good discussion point with those groups. We got a good response from our parent groups, but it was mostly white females, so it's not representative of our diversity. It may be representative gender-wise if the, you know, mom and dad sat down together and did it, but we don't know that. One thing to keep in mind is that the people who do respond to this in our community and our parents are probably people who tend to be paying attention and are involved more so than someone who wouldn't want to take the survey. We had a lower response from our community this year, and that did decline all 3 years, so it wasn't good to begin with. And these are the people who don't have kids in school. They tend to be older. Most of them probably did have kids in our school at one time and have recollections from those times. I think that we need to not not try to generalize from this small group, but it's good information, but it's more like a focus group, or a series of focus groups. Our students, we have a broader range of rankings from the students, and that's probably because they had to do a forced ranking. They didn't get the Likert scale. They had to say yes or no, or don't know. So they're forced into a decision, and it results in a more distinct range of satisfaction ranking. We can have confidence in their results based on the number of kids that took it, because they kind of have to, and they are representative of our student body for the most part. An interesting thing that they have in the kids is there was quite a big difference in their response to, are you satisfied with the outdoor spaces? And I wondered if that was due to the courtyard, making them feel better about their field. Mm-hmm. Both of the student groups, there's a paradox in their response. They say that they're not challenged in school, but they do rank many of their subjects as being among their highly satisfied elements. So that is a paradox that we saw last year as well, and we see that in both of the elementary and the Hadley students. Our alumni, which are the kids who graduated the year before, so they've had a year of high school, and what we're after is asking them to reflect on their total District 41 experience and how did they feel it because of high school. We had very few respondents, more like a focus group. We've talked about using social media in some way to encourage them to respond, or having in the future having a raffle prize of some incentive to catch their attention, because that, you know, 14 kids, I think, is the number we have, just not really enough to be worth our while for that particular group. Our next step, we're really going to communicate the results to our stakeholders, and which we've already started doing, and certainly we've been looking at these, and the principals have their results. Identify the areas that we want to look at for deeper inquiry. Do some brainstorming around our alumni process, because we really would like that information. Mm-hmm. And then the other one, that when we have 3 years of trend data, so after the next survey process, we take a step back and say, how is this working? Is the data been useful to us? Do we want to continue with this? Do we want to continue in-house but do it a little differently? Do we want to turn it over to a professional opinion company, or some mixture of those? So I think that's probably the plan. We can deviate from that. But one of the things that I hear from people sometimes about the survey is feeling like, well, I don't see that my input was responded to and work that you've done. And I think that is hard for people, because they're giving us their individual opinions, but we're looking at the global results and the trends. And so any given individual may not feel like what we do with it is responding to their opinion. Mm-hmm. But it is very much aligned with what we're doing and has been helpful.
Well, I'll just pick up on what you just said, Julie, and that was how you would state that it's been helpful, especially from your point of view, because this does inform some of our communication practices, that map that we have, all those pieces. So how would you say it's helpful?
Well, I see it a lot. I mean, I certainly think that starting with the principals, that they have used it in their school improvement planning. I know Forest Glen certainly addressed a number of climate issues, continued to address a number of climate issues that they were able to. I think they knew that they had them, but the survey gave them something concrete to work from. And I think that we have found that a lot, that we've had an intuitive feeling that certain things were important, and the survey data has given us concrete, more concrete data. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's very helpful to go back and look at how different stakeholder groups have thought about the same general category mm-hmm. of issues. And the data that Gail gives us, which is able to manipulate in Excel and look at in different ways, is very helpful, because you can take something and you can rank it one way or rank it another way or compare it to another stakeholder group, and so it gives you a lot of ways to engage with the data so that you can really understand it. It is a little daunting, you know, because there's a lot of things, but I don't know, Anne, what do you think? I think
I think you're right on. Mm-hmm. We definitely use it.
I think it's important to do a survey for any number of reasons, but not the least of which is it's the sense of providing outreach. You know, I know the board has talked a lot about over the years, and this year especially, communication and wanting to, you know, gather that information. It is difficult when that group changes year to year. The continuity of that cohort group changes, although, like you said, you can see this set of parents at Forest Glen identified this as the issue in 2010 versus this now. I think the thing that always, you know, in some ways encourages me is if we see increase from the view of the value of what we're doing, and it's nice to see across here that there is that those numbers either have sustained themselves or improved somewhat. I happen to go on the district website because I got an email from somebody asking a question about finances, so I pulled up the scorecard on our finance page, and although I hadn't been on for a while, was reminded how much information is out there when it's accessed by the community. And so, you know, to see fiscal management continues to raise concerns, even if it's just a small number. As board members, we know with the administration how hard, with our faculty and staff, we worked on those issues around fiscal management. So it's always a little bit of a, you know, a lot of information out there. It just takes a long time for people to access it.
People have an attitude that, you know, maybe it's lingering from a past time, and, you know, just going to take a while. You know, another thing that I think is not real obvious, is that the survey is the principals all start their own e-blast newsletters. Mm-hmm. And they get really good readership on those, yeah. Much better than my students do. And because people want to hear what the principal has to say, and, you know, they feel that connection. But there's an example of something that they did to address communication mm-hmm. concerns and has been successful, I think, rewarding for them because they
can
even
advance
to
their
parents.
Thank you. Dan, do you have anything?
No, I'm just glad to see that we continue follow the same process on the survey so that we can see year for year, you know, changes or differences in areas of focus. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, Julie, thank you, because I know how much work it is when you have a survey that is not purchased and you do it in-house and you do it pretty much solo with the help of Gail when you get to the end of it. But I really appreciate all that goes into that.
Absolutely. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
And there are copies of the summary out there, correct?
There are, and they'll be posted online as well.
Great. Thank you. All right, action items on our consent agenda. Are there any items that board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes human resources personnel report, employment recommendations and resignations, the finance, facilities and operations report, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue and expenditure summary report, the summary of bills and payroll, the school district payment order, vandalism and damage report, the disposal of surplus property, the 2012-2013 FOIA report, and item 3, other matters, which include the approval of board meeting minutes from August 13, 2012, the public hearing and regular meeting, from August 13, 2012, the regular meeting in closed session, and from August 20, 2012, the special meeting. I have a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Mr. Andrea?
Sorry.
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes, thank you. Superintendent's report.
I just have one thing. Well, actually, it's a kind of a collection, but I want to give credit, as you heard me say last week in my Thursday letter to you, that just a great start to the school year on so many levels, and it was exciting, it was smooth. But I do want to give special kudos to Phyllis Hanna and Sandy Voss, who got our elementary food service up and running with barely a hitch. I mean, really one of those projects that, first of all, Phyllis didn't have a lot of choice in, you know, so when we said, we're going to implement hot lunch next year, she said, oh, okay, well, let's get at it. And it just went very, very well. And each day we're seeing an increase in the number of students who are buying their lunches, and so we're just absolutely thrilled, and I really appreciate the amount of work that went into getting that up and running amidst all the other work that we were doing this summer. And I think every building was well prepared. As you've heard me say, the buildings and grounds crew did a great job this summer, and we were ready to go. The tech, between buildings and grounds and tech, I don't think they could have been any busier all summer long getting the buildings ready. And I think that's one of the things that we talked a little bit about the other day, is that first day of school comes and teachers are in and they are excited and they are revved, and we're kind of like
exhausted
on the side of exhaustion, and yet it's like getting a shot of adrenaline.
Yep.
When the kids come. So it was a great start to the year.
For those of us who were at the first, the Institute mm-hmm. Day and the breakfast, was this the first day you did it on Monday instead of, or like?
We used to do it on Monday.
Okay.
So we have done
no,
that
we,
Tuesday.
I guess I wasn't there last year, but I just think the vibe in the room on Monday versus the years of doing it, you know, the day of Meet the Teacher Day, was like it was night and day. I mean, mm-hmm. You could just, the energy flow from the staff. They were excited to be there on Monday. They were, you know, from what, they were focused. And then at least on Tuesday, they were in their buildings, ready for the kids, not trying to rush out the mm-hmm. door mm-hmm. to get to their building. So that, you know, whenever you officially implemented that change, Lori, it was a, and your team, it was a great idea, because I think it really, you could tell. The other thing I just wanted to note was having an elementary student still walking into Meet the Teacher Day was funny, because for most of these kids, almost all, this was the first time they were seeing the new painting. And it was really humorous to be waiting outside to get, you know, hurry up to get in, and the kids were walking in, and the parents and the kids were like, wow, look at these colors. I mean, like, that they actually noticed and were, and the parents noticed and the kids noticed, and they were, you know, excited about it. And while it is something so small as paint, it just, again, the feeling that, and the energy from the kids and the staff and the parents, it was just exciting, and they're in their rooms and the new desks, and just, it was like a really different feel for them. Mm-hmm. So thank you to your staff for making sure that was up and running, and it looked great, and you know, it makes a difference. It's not, yep. Again, a small change, Bob, but for your team as well, but it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The learning environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we don't have an enrollment up report, but I'm assuming there's no surprises.
You know, I don't. Overall, I don't think there's any surprises, though. We did see, I thought, some last-minute growth at Forest Glen. In addition to the choice changes, but we saw some last-minute enrollments there that were coming in at the very end of the year. So I think we'll probably see their enrollment is up a little bit this year.
No kindergarten blip this year? Or?
We did. We added a section at Forest Glen.
Okay, so that was the... Okay. Do we have any more families with choice?
That we're done.
Okay.
The window is closed. Unless we have a new move-in, they would be given the option of choice. But I also, I mean, the Institute days were fabulous. 4 days of great opportunity and work. And kudos to PBT and to Karen and the math committee who organized all of those days. And Hadley had some great time with a brain researcher or someone who was talking about the brain and learning. So it was good. It was a good 4 days of getting ready and lots of good learning and interaction. And I think one of the things that I always feel is that when we are together on the 20th or the first day, that all the energy is so high and so palpable. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, it takes several attempts to get people to, you know, kind of get focused and quiet. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That just demonstrates the high energy that is there. And everybody's glad to see each other.
I will also say that the second to kudos for the hot lunch program. I think I told the story before. My fifth grader and my fourth grader are both were forced participants for the first day. But as a result of that, my fourth grader has told us that she will do hot lunch every day of the year. Because she was so excited about it. As long as she possibly can. So, and the cashless system was apparently perfect. No problems, nothing, no issues at all. So kudos again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nice.
Something went off about her.
Yay. It's a great day. Anything else?
Yep.
Okay. Board reports. Drew, you have a finance committee report?
I do. Basically, we had two issues that were just that we discussed. One being the renewal of the FGM professional service contract evaluation. That's basically a matrix that that Bob has designed from the prior year to evaluate professional services firms that do work with the district. So Bob looked at the matrix and updated it for this year. Mm-hmm. And according to staff, all of the vendors either met or exceeded the expectations per the metrics. So that'll. My understanding is that's going to go to the Thursday letter, and it'll go forward to the full board.
Oh, yeah, I'll include it in this week's communication with you. Mm-hmm.
Additionally. provided us with some numbers to address the district's desire to at some point move forward with full-day kindergarten and foreign language at the Garment Schools. So Bob, to his credit, did a yeoman's job in terms of the analysis and how that was presented, and providing the finance committee with what appears to be a sustainable model for that for those two programs. So, although this is somewhat preliminary, and there's a lot of additional information that needs to be generated both on the staff level and the administration level, it is very encouraging, and moving forward with these processes.
Drew, can I ask you guys? I wasn't able to attend the finance committee, and I noticed on the agenda the full day kindergarten and was on it. Are some of those topics something that maybe we need to bring to have the full board be part of some of those earlier discussions? Because my, ultimately the board takes a vote on the expenditure of it. So ultimately, we as a group of seven have the final say. My concern is letting the planning process for something get too far down the path without the board supporting it along the way, or not supporting it, or reprioritizing some of those things. I just would hate for it to get too far down the road, and then have the board say, you know what, it's a great idea, but I think we have other priorities. And I would hate to see you and your staff put a great deal of time and effort into something and us say, you know what, we can't afford it, or we don't believe we can afford it, or for whatever the reason is, to let it get too far down the path.
I think I can answer this. This was a very, very preliminary, almost a first blush. The question was asked, can this, from a financial impact standpoint, be sustainable?
In terms of staff.
That's a different question.
Yeah,
but
that's a whole other discussion.
But this is so again, on first blush, very preliminary basis, based on the metrics that Bob created through his spreadsheet, the answer is yes.
Okay.
So, but there's so many other moving pieces that need to come together to be able to. And we talked about,
Think tank.
There was
foreign language.
All these different
dealing with dual recommendations.
I think that's why I raise it, because there's so much coming out of think tank, and at first blush, and again, I haven't looked at the proposal. I'm just
there is no proposal.
Well,
at this time.
The concept of all day kindergarten is a concept. I think it's something that the board clearly supports, but in terms of where in a list of priorities, with all that is coming out of the think tank, given our space limitations, where does that fit in our list of priorities? And I'm just asking, excuse my voice guys, I apologize, but I'm just wondering if it is something that we need to start addressing our board meeting, whether we all, it's required that we attend a finance committee meeting, if that's where these discussions are starting, so that we're giving proper guidance to finance committee as well as the committees that are working on these projects.
And if you recall, that's, I sort of laid out for the board, here's where these conversations are going to start, and here's our timeline, which is a very compacted timeline, which includes community conversations as well as full board conversations, but did invite and encourage you to come to finance to have these conversations at this level, because right now they are really in the realm of probability.
Okay.
Can these things happen? You know, when you talk about, the board said to Karen last year, we're not satisfied with dual language, we want foreign language in all of our schools a year earlier than we anticipated. So for us, it became an important issue. Can we even afford that? And so Think Tank has also been having conversations. There are really two parallel conversations.
Right.
Think Tank's been talking about Common Core, rigor, the need for full-day kindergarten in order to meet the demands and the rigor of the expectations as we move down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Foreign language is another whole group. So we just wanted to make sure, from our perspective, that before we get too far down the road, either with the board or with Think Tank developing its recommendation, given our 5-year projections, can we afford it? And so that's where we started. It was just to say to finance committee, here's where we're at right now in terms of a first blush. We haven't even written a proposal yet.
Okay.
So Think Tank will start its work next week, and that's one of their topics that they have to grapple with is where are they going to go with a recommendation as it relates to kindergarten in the short term, as well as, you know, the potential long term. Certainly the long term, we probably would say full day kindergarten.
Right.
Whether it can be done in the short term,
well,
another topic.
I think it can be done within the short term of our facilities.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
To me, truthfully, the all day kindergarten is a facility. There's no doubt that I think people recognize the academic requirements and the need for it.
But can you do it?
But the reality is we don't have facilities mm-hmm. that can mm-hmm. have all day kindergarten.
You'd have increased class sizes.
Well, but even with increased class sizes, you still don't have enough space.
Because you'd have to double up. And
right. Yeah. So, you know, I just, that, you know, I know we recently received some emails from community members asking about all day kindergarten. And, you know, it's kind of one of those questions that often comes up. And again, I think the board would say, yeah, what we should have, but we don't have facilities right. to support it.
Right.
So,
well, I think that the conversations are going to be just that for the next few weeks. It's just conversations,
okay.
And so I think if Drew can continue to give input mm-hmm. and invite you to attend whenever you are able, we'll see the first recommendation come to a joint meeting of CIT and LLT from Think Tank in October.
Okay.
After that, then it starts to work its way back and then up to more of a recommendation and conversations at the board level in November.
Okay.
And it is helpful to get the finance packet, obviously, so that we can at least take a look
right.
at it. So if we have questions, we can...
It is.
Some board book
it is. But that's what yeah. we're saying. We can take a look at it, and if we have questions, we can forward them on to you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But we're really... We're up here right now.
Okay.
In
yeah.
Big picture moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad you raised that, Tara, because it's important.
I just don't, like I said, I just mm-hmm. don't want people
to get too far ahead.
Get too far ahead, and then the board says, mm-hmm. we're, no.
Mm-hmm.
Or yes, or, you know, change mm-hmm. the game plan. I just, sure. that's not the way we should operate, so.
But we almost have to do what we're doing in order to
right.
get to the point where we say, go, no, go.
Right.
A great point.
And that's it
good.
For finance.
Yeah. Other reports.
Was there a citizens finance meeting since our last one?
Yes. Since our last board meeting, we had a finance advisory committee meeting.
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was an update for that.
We shared the long-range plan. Bob shared the budget, the final budget document. We kind of talked through the budget process and you know, the calendar of the budget. Can't think of that. State financing. We talked about pension a little bit, you know, what kinds of things are creating challenges for us. I had a great dialogue, and unfortunately there were a couple members that weren't able to attend, and so, you know, I think one question that the group has to decide is whether or not we really need to add a few more people to that group to make sure that we have adequate numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we had three people not present.
Jim, Isaac,
three people. Bill, Jim, and Andy.
And the next meeting is October 18th.
Next meeting is October 18th. Did you hear that, Dan?
Yep, thank you.
I have a couple of things. CIT, Continuous Improvement Team, meeting was last Thursday, 23rd, August 23rd. We had some new members join for that first meeting. We had updates from each of the teams for excellence and what they've been working on, mostly with start of school stuff and, you know, some summer work as well. Talked about the problem-based learning training that went on, 60-plus, Karen, was it, who attended, and some of those folks who were at the CIT meeting, very excited about the outcomes of that and what they're doing with it. And professional development, which was our institute plan and that kickoff. So lots of good information. The majority of the time was spent in three different working groups. I think that Ann mentioned either in our Thursday letter or has mentioned that on September 27th there's a summit for the Teams for Excellence to meet to do really three main things. One is to build core knowledge for that group of the long-range plan and 21st century learning as well, and then also the learner characteristics to continue to embed those. So we broke into three work groups to help start to frame what that summit will be, and Sue was there too. So they were, you know, did a lot of good work. I'm always amazed at how productive we are, you know, 4 p.m. And, you know, we've all had those, we're all in late meetings too, but lots of good energy around it too. But also just really building acumen on the whole journey of the long-range plan and how all these pieces come together so that there's a, you know, so that there's language that's consistent across the organization to say this is what we're doing around that, you know, owning the long-range plan and 21st century learning. So I'm looking forward to the summit that's on the 27th of September. And then Policy Committee, which continues to be me and Sam, along with Anne and Maureen Stecker. We have not decided on any meetings. I know that I mentioned and thanked Maureen for sending us the board policy updates so that we're all familiar with what those are and what we did last year. And so I think at this point, having a powwow to talk about kind of what we've updated and what might be that next part of policy manual in concert with Maureen and Anne, and then we'll get a meeting scheduled. So just want to make sure that people know that's not gone away. We're still, we will meet and get that going again. I know that we all got the district report, year in review. Every community member of District 41 received this. I'm so glad that it's hand-delivered. I was at a community outreach meeting today, and three of the folks who were there all mentioned to me that they got it, and a couple of them said, I opened it up with my breakfast and read all the way through, and it was a great report. So I just want to give you that feedback, and for the record, for community members that you know, listen to the recording, if you for some reason didn't get your year in review, to please call the district office and we'll get a copy to you. And in particular, I just want to give some kudos to the whole section on finance and the value, the benchmarking study we did, just really very good, concrete, straightforward information, and just, I think, really well done, and a great tool for us as we go into people interested in serving on the board, and just a good toolkit for that. So thank you, Julie, once again for that.
I think you mentioned before, though, it's less expensive to hand-deliver than to mail it.
Right, yep.
More reliable.
Which is great, and more reliable, which is wonderful. So, excited about that.
And the Park District team delivers their programs.
And then the last thing is just getting into the school, the academic year. I reviewed with Ann the final revised performance goals that we had all talked about, and so she has a copy of that, and I sent a copy to Lori Campbell for her file today, so she has that. And then based on the timeline for the evaluation process, August is just a reminder that we'll be following the same timeline and procedure, and then coming up in November, December, Anne will present a status report on the two goals. And I did follow up with John, who wanted to make sure that some of the language around the 21st century learning one was okay, and he signed off on that, so we should be good for that. And just as a reminder for myself, I know that board members wanted last year the individual evaluations that we do to be summarized with each of our names so that we can all see people's comments, so that we'll make sure that we do that this year so that people have a full accounting of that, as it were. But again, in board policy is a timeline, it's the same one, and we'll follow that again. And that's it. Anything else? Okay.
What section are you going to work on next?
We don't know. We have to meet about that and do a reprise on where we are. So we tackled the big one last year and the year before, actually, too. So
I will think section two is on.
Yeah.
Two or three.
So we have to, it's like a hamster wheel. We just keep going back and reviewing. And thank you, kudos to Maureen Stecker, who keeps us completely up to date through press and IASB, so it's helpful. Okay, discussion items.
You have one discussion item this evening, and that is the superintendent search firms, and I'll turn that over to you to initiate your discussion. Okay, will you be reading it?
Well, sorry, before we jump into that,
the
FGM,
Oh, was that before?
Teacher classes.
I have the superintendent search firm up on my up on my mic.
I know. Thank you, Sam. I have.
It is A. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then let us. First discussion is the renewal of the FGM report, which is not on my. I don't have it in my. This is our annual report, and as you've, we update our contract with FGM annually. And this year, we have put in addition to the normal things that we do each year, which are outlined for you with the various projects that are there, considered Amendment 23. We have general services, and we have master planning. And based on board direction last year as we renewed the long-range plan, and we talked specifically about the master facilities plan, that this was a year to go back into that plan and really update it and make it an important part of this year's work. And so you see that listed as part of the contract with FGM, that we are going back in and we are re-examining the final report that we did in 2008, I believe, and making sure that that reflects both 21st century learning and the board's current direction for making some definitive plans around a facilities campaign. In addition, we have two things that we're working on that are a little bit larger projects that would be part of the summer projects, and that is the redesign of the Hadley Learning Center to create a 21st century learning center that would serve as a model both for our elementary buildings as well as a model for what kind of a larger space might we want to be using in any new building or any redesign of any building that would represent 21st century learning and using that as a kind of a hub for learning and the various media that might be there. Roofing is obviously an issue that we look at each year, and mobile classroom inspection. And so I think that summarizes everything that we're hoping to accomplish.
I know that when the final report for the master's facility plan was put forward, that some of the high-level design was around changing the Hadley Center, and when we looked at even some of the redesign work for the buildings, that was a piece of it. So, when we got this, I was glad to see that. I know you've already talked about that, Anne, but that it's in here to actually do some due diligence around, because from a board perspective, and I think for the community, it reinforces that the work done by a community committee is not lost. It comes back, and it had value, and it still has value. And we're actually following through on, looking more deeply at that, and aligns with the 21st Century Learning Plan. So,
well, we've been meeting with FGM in a small administrative group, but the next step really is to bring a larger group back together to revisit the plan, and looking at members of Think Tank, looking at other members of our parent community, looking at our staff that may want to be a participant in that, and we're still in the kind of organizational stages of that prior to the board's approval of the contract. And I apologize that I went straight to that.
So Tara is going to...
Are there any questions or comments about that?
No.
Okay.
Hi, as a finance committee, I just wanted to just bring the board up to speed. They talked a little bit about it. I was just trying to understand a little more the master planning. For the next 4 months, we're spending around $20,000 a month on average to roll up to that. I just still kind of struggle with that, because when I think about what FGM typically provides, if you look at a 10% of services of a total cost of a project, I see that, you had an $800,000 project. Typically they would charge that same amount. And so when I see that, I can picture, concrete drawings, bid documents, administering a project. Yes, I kind of struggle with what the real outcome for that large expense is going to be. If it's just the binders or updating layouts, conceptually to me it seems like it should be a lot less. But I'm still kind of struggling with that.
Okay.
Are you saying, Dan, that you don't feel like it's described well enough in terms of what the deliverable is for those dollars?
I wonder, is there a way they can do it for significantly less, for what I'm, what I would, I guess, what the outcome is. I mean, if it's just the binders showing, okay, a STEM lab in each building that looks like this, that's what I kind of struggle with.
Well, there's the combination of the short-term and the long-term revisiting. The short-term being the LLC and the STEM labs and the changes we can make in the short term, which would be in the next year or two, and the larger plan being that master facilities plan that will take us to the larger total project, which is a long-term project and would require significant construction.
So, like on the STEM labs, for example, are we looking for conceptual drawings and costs to make that happen, or is that...
We've been looking at conceptual drawings and where to put them in our current facilities so that you have to reconfigure classrooms in order to create that space, and where is the logical place to do that, and then how can you double up kids, at least in a homeroom setting, for that.
I think I remember we talked a little bit about this the last time too, and that part of the work for FGM is to be laying out this potential plan so that we're not making potential mistakes further down if our master facilities plan doesn't come to fruition in the way we had planned. So to not be taking up space that we might need for something else. So it's really it's a scenario, and I think for me important so that we're not doing we're not making decisions that are going to get impacted adversely and we're going to have to redo. So that might be a concern, is making a decision down the road to include STEM or STEAM labs, which I think are important, but not to do it at the loss of space that we're going to need to recapture, in thinking about foreign language or classroom space or whatever it might be. So,
then also not creating those STEM labs in ways or locations that would then be dismantled if you had a larger construction project in the near future. So that's important too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not saying the work is not important. It's just I'm just not seeing. There's a disconnect between
the cost and
the amount. Yeah, between what they're charging and what I'm expecting the output to be.
So going back to that deliverable question.
To address the intrepidation, would it be the same cost no matter what firm we went to? I mean, is solution look for another firm, or he just doesn't see the value in it at all?
Yeah, I guess for the value, I'm just picturing, the binders and layouts and... Mm-hmm. No matter what the firm is.
Well, is your solution to try to get FGM to charge less, or to just say if this is what it's going to cost with any firm, and you just don't think it's worth it?
Well, I don't know what the scope of work is, but and so what I think I know what the scope of work is seems like it should be a lot less. So either there's a high charge, or I don't understand what the full scope of work is.
Okay.
Or maybe we're asking for too much. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Or it may be that whatever the deliverable is really does end up matching what our expectations are, but we don't have it yet.
It's not clear.
It's not clear. Yeah, it's not clear.
Someone tell me if I'm being crazy on this. I don't.
Is it possible that we could...
Well, you still haven't answered the question, though, but, I don't know what our solution is. We have to have an architect of record, right, for the district?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we can't go shop this out to another architect, can we?
It wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't hear Dan asking to shop it out. But I think, Dan, it's not concrete because we're asking them to do work that is going to come to whatever that output or deliverable or whatever it is, and it's hard to know how much needs to go into that or not. I would defer to Bob, obviously, having worked with them, that what they're presenting is reasonable.
Yeah, and there's just the one-liner in the project description says final scope of work to be determined. So I guess I don't get a form. I'm not sure I get the warm fuzz feeling yet.
Right. I think that part of that, Dan, is that we are meeting with FGM. So part of their work is to try to figure out what we're trying to say to them, you know. So they've been meeting with us pretty regularly, almost weekly, to listen to Karen talk about the think tank work, the STEM lab, the kind of the vision. And so to some extent, they are vague, not because they are intending to be vague, but because they're waiting for us to finalize the vision with them. And
yep.
And some of that is coming out of think tank as well.
Yep.
Makes
yep.
sense. We've been there.
Thank you, Dan.
The next question is, were you better to build by the hour? I mean, I think we talked about this
yeah.
before. It's just the lump sum to do this and the resources they put forth and the
mm-hmm.
amount of time they're here, not with us, but with the administration.
Right, right. And who they
spend. In line with what mm-hmm. a professional architect would charge you.
Yeah. Well, I think the brief investigations that we've done along that way has indicated that, yes, their charges are in line with other architectural mm-hmm. firms. But we'll try to see if we can have something a little bit more specific to provide you that will give you a more clear picture before the next board meeting.
Yeah, that would be helpful. You know, maybe if you compare it to other projects I've seen, like, you know, when they did all those binders for, you know, when we were looking at different school proposals, maybe if you could just, if there was some way you could say, okay, that output was this much.
90 inch of paper.
So compared to the MFP final report?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get something, a base across something to compare.
Okay.
And is it possible that as this project goes along, is it possible that you could redefine the scope of work that could be?
I think we will potentially redefine the scope of work as we get further into this. But remember, again, we're talking about short term and we're talking about long term, and we're trying to mesh those two big plans so that, you know, we can provide the board some very specific direction that takes you out over the course of the long range plan towards the ultimate goal, which is new facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're hoping, is that by the end of this year, you've got that plan and you've got a timeline and you have some very specific steps you can take to complete that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some ways, this aligns with the next conversation we're going to have when we're ready to go there, but the superintendent search firm conversation, because, you know, that firm will be guiding us as a board in terms of the work, and yet, you know, we have to give them the vision of what we're looking to have them accomplish for us. So in some ways there's some commonality to this, and you know, it's as you're saying, and there's a lot of conversation around what is it that we mean by 21st century learning and buildings that are not built, certainly not built for that,
mm-hmm.
that will make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I also had that master planning project flagged and the mobile classroom project flagged as well for just a little bit more clarification.
The mobile project inspection?
Yeah.
That's an annual thing.
Well, then what happens? Is there a pass fail? And if they fail, what happens?
Well, it's required by code that we have them inspected every year, and our architective record does that. If they fail the inspection, then we would have to do, and we have had to do some repairs or some upgrades to our portables in order to make them you know, able to be passed,
mm-hmm.
pass an inspection. They inspect them on our behalf, so when the ROE inspects them,
mm-hmm.
they pass.
Right.
But we have to have that every year.
Okay. And yeah, the master planning, I have lack of knowledge on that.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like a big number to me,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's just because I don't have enough knowledge
mm-hmm.
as to what it actually
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That would be helpful
mm-hmm.
to
Thank
me
you.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every year the ROE sends these documents that we have signed that says we have a plan to deal with affordable classrooms, and in order to get that approval, you know, our architect director has to go through that. So we keep signing them. We keep having a plan. Anything else, Liz?
Back to me.
Tara is going to facilitate the search firm discussion.
Okay, so last Monday on August 20th, we held a special meeting for the board, and in order for us to interview and have superintendent search firms come and make presentations for our search director Rebecca's replacement, firms that presented to us were Ray & Associates from Iowa, School Exec Connect, and Hazard, Young & Atiyah Associates, both from Illinois. Those two are from Illinois. We would like to make a vote on this after a closed session tonight. Prior to that, the board had kind of come up with a bit with criteria that we were sort of going to use to look at in this analysis. Some of the criteria was national search capabilities. And then you got them?
Yeah, so national search capability. We were looking to make sure we got the more experienced recruiters on our team. Cost to conduct the search. Their guidance on transparency, their philosophy of transparency with the community, previous experience with Pink Lake, some familiarity with 41, and then we said more importantly, a process for understanding our district, and then their recommendations around stakeholder and community involvement in the process. So probably two of those are really redundant, but that's the criteria.
So I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure how we really want to direct or have this conversation based on those criteria. I don't know if it's easier to eliminate things that perhaps didn't, or kind of pros and cons of each of the firms. Two board members. Dan Smith and John Kevin were unable to be there, but like all of our Dan, you were here with us. Steve and John weren't here, and so they were able to listen though to those presentations online, as was any member of our community.
We don't post special meetings.
Okay, I apologize. Well, the two of them were able to listen to those presentations as well.
And we also got the materials.
So. Correct.
So, I mean, it'd be a lot easier, I think, if there's one we know we can eliminate. I just don't know if that's the case or not. So,
I think one of the things I think was sort of interesting about these presentations was, for those of us who were physically here, you could read the body language, you could, you could gauge certain emotions or not between board members and staff. Julie and Maureen were both here as our staff members, since they will be working with whatever the firm that we choose to go through this process. And first of all three of them were very highly qualified. These were not brand new firms with little experience. All three firms had a great deal of experience. Based on the information and materials that we received, I guess I would start with with the national search firm capabilities, because that was something that we had a lot of conversation about. And I think at first blush, our definition of national search capabilities was, do they have people all over the country that they could tap here and there that they thought might fit the criteria that we were looking for? But as I was listening to the presentations, I started also to think about, do these firms go out nationally? Do they conduct searches in other states in other communities that would be similar to ours, not just that they have colleagues in the Midwest that they would go to, but that they actually do searches in, let's say, Washington, D.C. area, that they've actually gone and done this, indicating to me that they have those capabilities in other places.
In terms of that criteria, national reach and sort of recruiting network, I felt that the Exec Connect ones were lowest in that criteria in terms of, number of years in business, number of associates that they have out in the field, geographic reach. I think they could all produce one or two, out there search, Massachusetts or California, but they seem to me to have the least of that.
I would agree. I think the other thing is, under the criteria, I felt like all three search firms said almost verbatim that their approach to the search was to be aggressive in recruiting sitting superintendents. So, you know, based on the criteria that they get from us as a board and from polling the community and doing those kind of focus groups, that all of them are going to follow the same type of process or protocol, which is, once we know what you want, then we get that information out to our associates and we figure out how to make those matches. And so they all said, so that whole national piece for me was not really a differentiator, because all of them really said they follow some of the same process and protocol. What did differentiate from that perspective was the fact that Ray and Associates, you know, talked about being engaged and involved in larger national conferences and that type of thing. Hazard Young also does the same kind of thing. School Exec Connect a little bit less so. I mean, more Midwest focused. But they all talked about that phrase that they all use, throwing a wide net, remember? They all talked about, you know, putting as wide a net out there as possible, making sure that we pursue, you know, in a real assertive way, the right candidate, even if they're sitting superintendents, et cetera.
I got a little different take than what you're saying. My take was that the process was all pretty much the same. In other words, I didn't see a huge differentiation on process in terms of there's a planning phase, there's a recruiting phase, right?
Right.
And, you know, get our requirements out and all that. I felt the process was pretty much the same for all three, although I felt that two of them were probably a little more technology savvy than one of them. In terms of doing that, not that mattered to me, but I felt, though, that once they got beyond that process, that's where I thought having a broader network meant something, because it means that if I have people in, you know, Phoenix and whatever, right, I've got someone there who knows the community, who knows the good people, who's available, and then if I'm out at conferences and I'm presenting and I'm at, you know, then I assume I've got a bigger network, which I felt at the national level, I thought there was only one firm that truly, as a company, was actively going to, you know, these national conventions or these state conventions as a part of their course of business, whereas I felt...
Was it Ray?
I felt Ray did that. I felt that was a part of their business model. They, you know, we go to the state, whatever they call it, I don't know what all the...
Yeah, they enumerate.
The national ones we present. We're the only ones that present. We even recruit for those positions, whereas I didn't feel I got that with the other two at all in terms of their business model.
Well, I think maybe we're saying the same thing. I guess in the end, the approach that they take, all three of them would take, would be very similar. It's just a smaller, for School Exec Connect, it was more, my sense was that it was more localized.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And not that next layer of, hey, we're out there in the marketplace, branding ourselves and our capabilities.
Right. But I agree with you. I mean, I don't know that any of us heard a huge difference between their process. Even looking at the materials, some had more detail in the process, and I did like that, to see, you know, how they worked with us and, you know, built some of the detail in. But for the most part, I think they would go about the search process in similar fashion. So for me, it came down to some of the chemistry of the conversation, the expertise that was presented, experience, you know, that they brought to the table. You know, with regard to School Exec Connect, I would say that, you know, one of the positives is that David Peterson, who came and would be part of the team, is a Glen Allen resident, District 41 parent, Glenbard West parent. I mean, he's been a parent, knows the district, and so has that kind of inside individual perspective. And they just had a successful search. He was with School Exec Connect. Yeah. And then they certainly just had a successful outcome for the District 87 search and Dr. Larson. Larson? Yeah. So, you know, certainly that's...
How long has that person been in?
He just started, Dr. Larson.
So they're kind of in the honeymoon phase, if you will.
I suppose, I don't know, we've met, I know, I've seen him at meetings and
that's
heard
true.
Him speak. And
huh?
let's hope it lasts longer than a honeymoon. I saw him walking down the street today.
People are on their honeymoon for 20 years.
Yeah, true. True. So, I mean, there's those pieces, but, yeah, I think,
yeah,
I don't know.
I would just say, you know, wanting this national, you're basically saying these guys go to conferences. How well do they know these other candidates besides collecting resumes and keywords? You know, I just wonder.
You know what?
What,
I know what the scope of that is? Yeah, yeah.
Well, they in their documentation, they have more people. They have 160 plus associates out there in the field getting to know their districts, and that's their business. Right, they're not, you know, some of the other firms who are selling, you know, race to the top capabilities or, you know, other services. So, at least in my mind, the Ray firm was, you know, 100% dedicated to looking for candidates. I don't know about School Connect, but I felt that Hazard. Had certainly other business models in their numbers than just Hoover.
And I wasn't there, given the fact that a lot of the firms said their primary pool of candidates was sitting superintendents. What did they feel, if they did their homework for District 41, was the primary motivating factor to want to switch from a current district to this district, you know, in terms of, you know, an elementary district and things like that. I'm just curious.
About why superintendent?
You know, to talk about the candidates who may go look at sitting superintendents towards the end of their career, again, versus finding an up-and-coming assistant superintendent looking to become a superintendent.
That kind of came up, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it actually kind of came up in the sense, in the framework of, and I remember somebody asked a question about when do you begin, like when should we actually, I felt like that mm-hmm. came up when we talked about when should the search begin, when should we be interviewing, and all three of them, two of them more than one, but talked about you're going to get sitting superintendents are going to be your first wave, people who may not, you know, maybe are looking for a change or whatever or like what they do, but if you wait till January, you will have had the holidays for people who maybe hadn't put their toes in the water and wanted to consult their families and had thought about becoming a superintendent or moving, but that's when they would come forward. Mm-hmm. I got the sense, that sense from like two of the firms. And so, yeah, that we did kind of ask those questions, maybe not that directly, but...
Mm-hmm. They also said that we as a board decided, hey, we are looking for an up-and-coming superintendent, not necessarily someone that has, you know, a ton of experience.
Right.
That is something they could do. And
that's part of the criteria,
that
we would give them, right.
I believe something to the effect of, you know, that could be something that could be done a little faster than that. You know?
Well, and truthfully, that was, and I don't remember if it was Hazard, one of the firms talked about salary and how we... needed to put that on the table up at the front end rather than pick somebody.
To pull the, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then talk about it.
Yeah.
So, Steve, your question, I don't know if it was a question or a statement, but for me, you know, I'm not using it in terms of we have to get somebody out of state. I'm saying that they have, it seems to me, based on, you know, the facts and that they in their presentation, that they have a bigger reach to potential candidates. Whether that translates to how well they know them or whatever, I don't know, but they at least have a better reach than the other firms on a fact-based approach here. For, you know, Ray, Hazard, et cetera.
Other comments?
Sure.
You want to go through, are we talking solely about national search, or are we going through?
Just general.
Right.
You know, I would go to some of our other criteria and say, you know, what is the, knowledge of the district. Mm-hmm. What's the knowledge of kind of who we are and what we do? And I'd rank these in totally.
These aren't ranked. We didn't rank.
Well, I'm just saying, you ranked a national search capabilities.
No, my number one ranking personally would be just the experience.
Well, no, he's saying you're just looking at the criteria you put out what you thought was the best.
I just went with our list that we put together as a team. I didn't say this is number one, too. I said here's what they are. Oh. If you were asking me what mine would be, it's the team that we have. Would be number one, who's on the ground actually working this project. Because mm-hmm. the firm can have a great reach and then the team they have on the ground is not a strong team.
What were you, Drew, were you allowed to talk about which firm you thought was better at?
Well, in terms of
your
gut feeling, what firm do I think that is has the best knowledge and understanding of who we are? I would list them in the reverse order that John did for the
right. National. I was talking about those criteria. I was talking about if you looked at the firms and said who could best provide national service, you did rank them and said you thought Ray was best case.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think of the three firms, they had the best reach.
Right?
Okay. But I think in terms
I also personally felt they had the best experience team too.
Mm-hmm. I guess I didn't see that.
Well, I truthfully, so Drew, let me, are you saying then from you feel that school exec had the best, would have the best knowledge of our district?
I would say that.
Okay. And why do you feel that way?
That being an alumni and a parent of the district, I think qualifies in that. And
Drew, I don't know, so I'm just asking, but who was the alumni?
Well, Dave Peterson, his children also. Did he say he went to?
He said he's
a lifer.
An alumni as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So when did you graduate?
We don't know. I mean, he went through, but all his children went through District 41.
I don't know what that means. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago.
He's older than me. I would suggest he might be about your age.
62.
All right, he's older than me.
Thank you, Dan.
So this experience is from, is it 20 years old or is it in the last 5 years? I mean, in the last 5 years, we've changed significantly.
It's the good old
I mean, that's important to me in terms of, okay, so they're born and bred here and they live through it, that's great, but that doesn't, I don't value that if it's out, it's out of date.
I actually agree with you, John. My sense was the comparison to 87, for me, we are a completely different district. 87 encompasses so many other communities, and what they're looking for is, if I lived in another, Glenbard is about four schools and a lot of different communities, and the needs and knowing what that communities are very, very
different. It's a high school district. Yeah.
It's a high school district, and it's very different from our community.
High school or even a unit district.
Right.
It's different from an elementary only. I think you need the right. You need a good administrator, but you also need somebody that wants that likes K-8 issues.
and I mean, I think, well, I often think having people involved who lived here their whole lives sometimes brings certain values to the table. I also often feel that it can often be a hindrance at times because we've changed a great deal over the last 2 years, even 5 years, 10 years. I mean, we have become a completely different school district than, say, somebody whose children graduated from Hadley, even 5-10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So to suggest that they know our district, I think, as a parent, yeah, that's great, but that was when Hadley had blocked schedule. I mean, just, it was a very different era. Our buildings were different. Our needs were different.
I'm not saying it's bad. I don't know what it is because I don't know.
I'm not saying it's bad either. I don't see the same value in it.
That's fair. I do see some value. I think Anne has had some dealings with David.
I've had dealings with all at least one member of each firm. Mm-hmm. That you. So I know at least one member of each team because they're all former superintendents.
Right.
And that was the other common thing. Each sitting team has a retired superintendent, some more newly retired, but all of them with significant, 25, 30, 33, 35 years of superintendency experience. So that was a common denominator among them also, which, is important.
And actually, Drew, I think your point of knowing our district and what we've been up to and the changes and things that we've been doing, frankly, there's nobody better than Hank then, because he actually started working with the Glenbard Feeders, and that began while he was the superintendent in Carroll Stream. So he directly worked with our district on that before he retired. So, I agree that, knowing our district and the needs would be a high priority. To me, Hank's work directly with our district.
I kind of looked at it back to my work a little bit. Each of these firms has a process to get to know what it is we want, which is their job, how we involve the community, and what it is about our district that we feel is important, that we want to carry to the next person. So I felt they each had a process that was all similar. It's kind of like us. We go into something, we do a current state first, and we understand, what the pain points are. Mm-hmm. And I felt they all had a process for that. So for me, I know sometimes when I do projects like that and I have some people that have been there forever, once you go through the process, they sort of become a hindrance later on because they kind of want to go back to their experience in that company and, what they want that maybe nobody else wants, and it sort of starts to limit you. So for me, I felt they all had a process. They could all take us through what we want to do, get our requirements, and I'm not valuing that. I didn't value that as, the reason I definitely want to go to this firm is because somebody lives in the district. We all have residents that live in this district that we're all familiar with. God forbid if maybe one of them worked for this company, that we may not view that as a good thing, right? So I don't know. For me, I felt the process was down on all of them to get the requirements and not necessarily have to be from the district. So I don't know if there's anything else about them felt differentiated.
I mean, it's going through the other two, was there an issue of the first firm? Did they come to us late? Was there an issue?
Ray and Associates?
Yeah, was there an issue in terms of timing? But it seems like at one point we were just going to have two, and at the last minute this other firm wanted to come in and present.
No, they were always on the list, and for whatever reason, they don't know why, but apparently the message didn't get to their rep right away. So of all the firms, they actually had the least amount of time to prepare, the least amount of time to get ready, and I think they got their presentation to us the same day as everybody else, and I think they got their proposal to us the same day as everybody else with only 3 days to do it, and then they got their presentation to us before everybody else. So in my mind, somehow we slipped through the cracks, okay, but they met the deadlines and exceeded them ahead of the other firm by sending us their presentation. I think all you guys had it. By Friday.
I understand that. I guess from my standpoint, I would have thought they would have been much more on top of it, and the fact that they waited till the last minute
Yeah, but Drew, it doesn't sound like it was their fault.
No, well, we don't know.
At least that's what I'm hearing. All right, can I go?
Yes, go ahead.
All right. I actually have a spreadsheet. I wish I had sent it around ahead of time. I put up to help me compare and contrast some of these firms. Some of the things I was looking at we all had our criteria, but some of the comments I had was one of the things I guess that kind of struck me was based on the experience, I was a little concerned with hazards. Seemed like their team was the least experienced of them all. I mean, you had Hank, who had been there for 3 years. Peter Flynn was a new guy. And then the other person of the team was sucked into an interim superintendent role, so there's another person, TBD. Not quite sure who that is.
Which I don't know. Have they gotten back to us with who that person is?
It was woman was on. It was
no, I mean, Barbara,
Hank,
West, Joshua, or whatever.
Yeah, she's an interim
she's
now.
Out. I don't, they said, we owe you another person's name. Did they give us another person for the team?
I have not been contacted, no.
So.
And just to clarify, Dan, Hank Jumitro, this is his third year as president of the firm, but he's been a partner in the firm before that, so he took over as president.
But he only did four searches. He's only done four searches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well,
he's done zero. Yeah.
Peter's
TBD, who they haven't even given us a name yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that was just one concern with the experience. Okay. School exec connect. David had been there since 2004. So what's that, 8 years ago? Mary, also on the team, was former superintendent of Chicago area, works with UIUC. I kind of got a weird impression from them because, when we talked about national, it seemed like he wanted to kind of focus on Michigan. He talked about two or three Michigan superintendents and continued to say that was an area to pull from. Which is fair, but I wonder if that would kind of limit them, but they just go to Michigan because that's just what they're comfortable with. And then versus, Ray, they had Mary. She was from St. Charles, former superintendent from Crystal Lake. She's in the area. They also had, what I thought was kind of interesting, they had a gentleman named Don, who's a professor at the University of Illinois in Springfield. They also had 25 years as a superintendent. And then, also encouraging to see Ray, the president, saying he wanted to be personally involved. And then some of the other two, when we talked about national search, Ray had a specific national search they would talk about, whereas the other two, it seemed like when you asked, it was like, yeah, we advertise in the national magazines or something. It struck me as a kind of weird that their solution for a national search was to just advertise in the national.
Dan, didn't you find that with everybody, though? Didn't you find that they all said that was their response, all three of them?
Yeah, but I thought Ray had more specificity around a national search.
No, I agree, but I mean that they all said, well, we post in a national.
And that typically candidates go to the website first to see. Like, that's the first line of offense, which is to say what's open.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just wondered if you know
you're right.
That
they
as
all
well.
Talk. They, yeah.
And I agree with that comment that when the question was asked around that, to me, the response of we advertise here was kind of the end, and then Ray took it another step, and I felt that advertising was not necessarily the answer in today's world. Putting an ad in the economy store.
I think Ray was the only one that said they do Skype in addition to phone interviews. So there's lots of options, for you don't want to travel or long distance. And I think they were, I don't know if this matters or not, but they were the only one out of the three that offered a 2-year guarantee. The others were 1 year.
And I think their pricing was the best, right?
It seemed like it was
the same as Hazard Young, 15.5.
Yeah, maybe School Exec was
the two. Yeah, they were the same. Those two were the same. And School Exec Connect was 17.5.
Yeah.
Anything else, Dan?
No. I mean, the only one comment. I know it's one of our criteria, but I guess I'm a little. Another thing that is hesitant for me to use Hazard Young is that we use them for the past two searches. And I think it would be good for us to get exposure to a different firm.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
So I agree with a lot of things that have been said. What I did was I started with the similarities, and you know, we all talked about that. The process for each search process for each was basically the same. The fees were basically the same, although School Exec was the highest. I think Hazard gave us a discount because of the fees, and Rave was just lower. The process was the same. So then I started to look into the differences of each. As we all said before, the Ray has the most associates, 160. Hazard has 120, and School Exec has 45. They've only been in existence since 2004, 150 searches. Ray said they did thousands of searches. I don't know if Hazard gave a number or not, but they did, you could safely say, more than 150 searches. I was able to answer my question, and Ray gave the most detailed explanation in that there'll be two pools. The first pool, as we talked about, would be people that look at it right away, and the second pool would be those that are interested after the holidays. I can't remember the name of this firm.
Which one?
School Exec Connect had a timeline that they were going to hire and have the contract done by December, and that was a firm timeline. And Hazard had also talked about the two different timelines, but wasn't as specific as Ray was. In terms of the teams that were going to be doing the searches, they all had someone who was local to us, not some more local than others, obviously. So that to me wasn't a big concern or issue. Hazard, as Dan said, the team seems a little new. I'm not an expert on this by any means, but Hank is the only one with any experience at all that we know of, because the other gentleman at the table, Peter, this was his first search ever, not just with this firm, but ever. And then the third member of the team, we don't know, and I sort of think we should know if we're going to make an intelligent decision. So, to me, I would gravitate toward firms with a larger pool of associates that would be more national in their search. There's two out of three there that would be that way. And with those two, the thing that troubles me the most with Hazard was the indeterminate of their team. I'm not sure what that's going to be. So if I had to rank them, that's how I would rank them. Ray, Hazard, and then School.
I would rank it the same way. I mean, the team for Hazard just concerned. And the fact we haven't heard from him. Say, hey, we found the spot of the person we can take for our spot, and here's their resume, and please consider this as a part of your decision process. Mm-hmm. And just Sam's point, in listening to the presentations, I thought they were very high level, and I think that's probably because of the level of experience they had in the room. It was a very high discussion, kind of always going back to the same point. It just showed lack of experience to me.
One of the things I just, listening to, everybody, where everybody's coming from, personally, my one and two could change. My third choice was School Exec, but it, we're between Ray and Hazard. But one of the things that I want to caution people to look at are, look at where these firms have done searches. And, looking at, I did a little research in terms of, you know, who, where some of these districts are in terms of their similarity to our district. And for me, that's really important because, as somebody who's been through this, and John, you have as well, it's important to have candidates brought to you who have some experience with the same types of demographics that you do. You know, while somebody from a very different district may be just as qualified, my thought is Anne and her staff have developed this long-range plan. We as a board have, affirmed again and again that this is the path that we want to go down, that we believe is what is right for our district. And I just want to make sure that we are remembering that when we go through this, because we are not in dire straits and cutting programs like they are in many other places. And all of these firms talked about, and I believe School Exec was really talked about, the need for many superintendents to leave where they are because it's so bad in their state. Well, as bad as it is
in
our
state,
to leave where they are because the financial pieces are so bad, and they can retire and they can move, and that's why, perhaps, like, and I just, the example he gave often was Michigan because of what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But for us, we are not in that place. Yes, our state is in complete disarray 90% of the time, but we as a district are not. And so, that's when I look at where these searches have been done, I did not feel that Ray and Associates did searches in districts, at least the ones that they gave us, that were similar to ours. And not that they have to be, but, when you're talking about looking for people and casting the wide net and all of that, you also need to know where that net has been cast and the places that they have found people, and are they similar to ours? Mm-hmm. Because, to be honest with you, looking at some of these districts, they're nothing like ours.
What's an example? I looked too, and I felt that they've done a lot of what I'm suburban urban research. So they did
Brooklyn. Decatur, Illinois. Sorry, Minooka, Illinois. I mean, and those are just locals. I do not believe that those demographics fit our district. Ann Arbor probably is close.
I think Brookfield, right?
Riverside. Yeah, Brookfield, Riverside, a bit more. Lincoln, Nebraska, not quite sure. Rochester might be. Fort Lauderdale, Broward County Public Schools. I don't think we would ever want to compare ourselves to Florida schools. Sorry.
Well, size.
It's a huge, we're not Elgin U46. That is probably a more comparable to a Broward County in terms of its size and probably the demographics. So, those are just some examples. Then I look at, Hazard, and that in terms of, some of the ones that they've done, they gave you some of those breakdowns that are probably a little bit more, that are similar to ours.
Yeah, I guess my analysis is a little different. And personally, I can't see going with one of our criteria, as I said, probably one of the more important ones for me is the experience of the team. It wasn't there. I mean, as a firm, Hazard has been through some ups and downs, right? They were formed a while ago, then they were kind of spun off to some, not spun off like in the legal corporate term, but, they grew the superintendents, worked them, then they came back, now another company, Equa or something.
I don't think so. I've never heard that term.
No, that's what I thought.
Can you go back to Hazard and tell them your concern with the experience of the team before and ask if there's other associates involved?
Can I see that?
Sure.
Oh, I got it. That's one.
Could we get a sense of where people are in terms of the ranking, and if there's a split in the top two, which sounds like it's between Rain Associates and Hazard, then if it's a split that needs those questions answered, then we kind of know where we need to do, which is to table this and then get those answers and come back and have a final conversation.
Because I mean, to have a 4-3 split on something like this really probably isn't, it doesn't speak well for whatever firm that's going to move forward. I know most of us, you know, we're good about whichever place we land moving forward with that decision. I don't have a problem with
you. You might not even get a majority if there's three firms.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I think in terms of ranking, go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I said rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah. We can do that, too. Well, is it fair to say that the board is ranking Ray and Associates and Hazard Young as their top two choices? Regardless of first or second order, those are the top two choices for people?
Yes, that would be me.
Dan?
Yeah,
it was, yes.
Dan?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but Drew, you would.
I would disagree, but I will certainly concede.
Well, who is your? I other than School of Stat Connect, what is your other choice? Your first two choices.
I guess I'd have to say Hazard.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at some of these districts there. You know, I could do the same to this brochure in terms of, you know, school districts that are not representative of what we're looking for.
I think that's the thing about them all presenting in some ways, you know, similarly, and not to sound disparaging, but in some ways all of the presentations were boilerplate. I don't know that a lot of work went into the materials. I think that they're really well done and there's a lot of good information. I don't know that they differentiated for our presentation different from one they would do for any other district. So I think that for me was a kind of a baseline. And, you know, I agree with what you're saying about the uncertainty of that third party, but I do believe that the value that a repeat partner has is knowing the district. And in some ways, this also, I was thinking about this today, the fact that Julie and Maureen worked with Hazard the last time, is, correct me if I'm wrong, but you did, correct? I think it's a plus because there's not a learning curve in terms of process, who does what, how people operate, needs of those key stakeholders in Julie and Maureen.
It's a different team. It's a completely different team. There's nothing.
I don't understand. This is a different team.
What I'm saying is, as an organization, they know, they ran a search, and they know the parties.
And they didn't bring their organization to us. If I have a client,
John, I'm not going to disagree with that.
No,
that's a concern for me, that we don't have that piece in there. But I do think there's value in a company, in a firm, having worked with the firm before. I don't think you, I think that adds value because you have history. Whether or not it's the exact same people, there is history in terms of knowing that piece, et cetera. And I would add one other piece, and I don't know that this is huge or not, or how people felt about this, but I asked the question, the other two firms do not recommend a site visit. Hazard did recommend it. I remember I asked, you know, why, you know, that or not.
Board members visit the final candidates.
Right, yeah, exactly. And I feel like there's a very important kind of tactile piece to that final decision where you're sitting in the home base of that potential superintendent and getting a feel for what that is.
Yeah, I didn't feel Ray said that they wouldn't recommend that. I think they said it's a little passe.
Yeah, they said it's less and less. You could use some technology to do that.
Well, they're saying it was less of a trend and that
right.
The boards were starting to get comfortable.
Because we can get so much information via websites and all those other things.
And that it was sometimes a problem for the candidate because
Right, there's that political piece if they're, but if they're at that point with the district in terms of looking for an offer, you know, then that's something to be discussed, to, you know, at that point. I mean, if the board felt that a site visit was important because we had questions or wanted to have that final, yes, this is the right individual, I think that for me was, you know, it's not a deal breaker, but it differentiated a little bit in terms of philosophy, I guess.
I didn't pick up the difference in philosophy.
That's fine. We'll disagree. I'm just putting my comments on the table.
I don't think they said we don't do that. Did they say we don't do that?
They said it's passe. It's not something we recommend. It's because you can get so much information through technology and blogs and websites, etc.
If it's important to you and you want to do it, you can do it.
And the point is, all three of these firms will do what we want.
Right.
So now it's just deciding, you know, which of the firms we think is going to be the best fit. Kara, I'll turn it to you.
Well, I mean, I guess that it boils down to, do people feel comfortable making a decision at the end of closed session, mulling it over, or would it better serve us to contact Hazard, Young, and Atiyah, get the information regarding that third person, and bring it back to the board to make that decision. While I realize that I have pushed us to try to get this decision made, our next board meeting is September the 10th, mm-hmm. and we could make that decision, publicly vote on it at that time if board members feel that they need to mull it over a little bit longer. They did say that we are at the front end of this, that we are ahead of the game,
yeah.
So we do have the time to make.
Yeah, I don't feel we're in a rush. And if we need more time, I'm struggling with, the facts to me are pretty clear. So, you know, we had criteria, and it seems like there's something else going on, or some other feeling, or something you guys saw in the presentation that I don't catch because I wasn't here.
Honestly, John, that has a lot to do. I mean, at least I can't speak for other board members who were here, but for me, you know, sometimes you have a feeling when you watch a presentation and you interact with somebody and you have a feeling about it. It's body language, it's whatever, that you can't really get from a tape. So
where I really struggle, to be honest, I mean, this is where I'm just struggling with this whole thing, because there's something else going on here, is that it's pretty clear on the team. We have two left. Very inexperienced team, very experienced team.
I do not consider Hank Dimitro an inexperienced person. I mean, I'm sorry, John.
Conducted four searches.
No, I don't believe that.
That's what he said. I've done four searches.
That's what I heard as well.
He did.
Four searches. Four.
Right.
And Peter has done zero.
Well, and in fairness to Hank, you know, since I did speak to him and I spoke to them from School Exec Connect as well. I mean, I made the arrangements with them in tandem with Maureen getting all the materials. So, we having those conversations with both firms about having somebody knowledgeable of our district, I mean.
But their business is searching. They have a process. We're selecting it right now. We're selecting a team that has done four searches and has not even come back to us with a candidate that they couldn't move forward. They've had over a week to do that.
And John, I'm not disagreeing with you, and you could say the same thing about Ray and Associates, how we don't know how they didn't get the message that we were here, given the fact that they stood here and told us that they have somebody who's a staff member who's in his office and doing that all the time, yet somehow we slipped through the cracks. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
And they still were able to respond on time in advance of the others.
Mm-hmm. So for me, two things. There is some validity in the Hazard and Jimenez doing the prior searches. The only problem I see with that is they did two prior searches, and I think it's in terms of longevity alone, one search is successful, obviously our current survey time, and the other search may not have been as successful. So in terms of prior relationships, maybe that's good and maybe that's bad. I'm not sure. But what I would say is, this is such an important decision that I think we owe it to ourselves to allow Hazard to either respond one way or the other, say, you know, we can tell them our concerns with their team, and if they want to leave their team as it is, so be it. If they want to change it, great. If they want to add to it, that's great too. But I think that we need to allow them the opportunity to do that before we make a decision. Because I think we're down to two.
I agree we're down to two. I agree we're not in a hurry, but somehow we got to get out whatever this issue is. It's pretty fact-based right now. It's so obvious to me.
So is it fair to say, so is the board comfortable with me contacting Hazard Young about who the team would be?
Well, it seems like part of your experience that you just shared is you dealt with them, so you got to know a little better. And I dealt with Ray, so why don't we swap? I'll call Hazard, tell him, and you tell Ray that if you want to change your team, we can change your team.
Well, I don't think anybody's asking questions about the team that Ray has.
No, I mean, I will tell you that.
I think you have concerns about do their districts represent our district. So they should be able to come back and respond, you know, to our, you know, is that the case? And then it sounds like our question to Hazard is, can you tell us who your third player is?
And I'm not asking anybody to come back and make another pitch.
No, but I mean, they need to give us an answer. I mean, to me, and if there's other questions, we need to get them out now, right? But we need to give both firms an opportunity to answer our concerns. What I've heard the concern on Ray is, do their districts represent our district that they've done searches? And I heard the question about Hazard is, you know, who's the third member? Are there any other questions that we want either of those two firms to come back and answer so that we can have a fact-based discussion on this and not whatever else?
So who did Ray say would be their team?
The people who are here.
So the president, Gary Ray, Mary Fassbender. Mary Fassbender, who's a former elementary superintendent in Crystal Lake, retired.
She's based out of St.
And she's in St. Charles. And then Don Kusmo, who is a professor at the U of I Springfield. He had 21 years as a superintendent.
And the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
Used to be. Yeah, I'm not sure he's there now, right?
No, he teaches in Springfield at the University of
Springfield.
Yeah,
he's
in Springfield. That's where he was.
You know, I think the bottom line is both of these firms would do a good job. And, John, it sounds like you're asking the question kind of in an obtuse way, so let me put it on the table. The facts are absolutely critical, and I want this to be a logical decision for the whole board. You can't get away from the fact that you do have a certain feeling or chemistry when you're having that conversation. I would say the person I was most impressed with the entire night was from Rain Associates, and it was Mary. Just sharp, deliberate, very poised. In fact, I think she was a better presenter than the president of the company. You know, I think there are pieces from both groups that I think really shone.
And for me, I'm not emotional about this in terms of the presentation because I didn't see it. I only heard, and I'm dealing with facts.
Right.
I agree with you. What I liked about Ray is all three of their people spoke. It wasn't just the one mouthpiece that was up here doing the pitch.
And
nobody else was involved. All three of them spoke.
Yeah.
Didn't get that with Hazard. One person speaking, by the way, very good speaker, very smooth. You know, I mean, it, you know, I could see, you know, I had one image of one of the other, but I took that out because I wasn't here, so I tried to be as fact-based as possible.
Yeah.
But he's the only one who spoke.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and contact and then get that answer, and then let's come back. If you can report that out to the board, that information, then we can come back on the 10th and make a decision.
Okay.
Is that fair to everybody? Dan, that's okay?
Yeah, I don't see how we could make a decision on if we don't know who that other team member.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I ask a structural question? Would you like it placed on the agenda for discussion and then action later? We can arrange the agenda so that discussion goes first instead of action items.
Like we did tonight.
Our organization tonight is the way we normally do it.
Yeah,
but we could put discussion
first
and action second, if you like.
Yeah.
So that you have a discussion, you don't have to go straight to action.
Totally.
Why?
No, I mean, we obviously need another discussion.
Yeah, if we can put that at the top. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, John. All right. Okay, upcoming meeting, September 10th, 2012, a regular board meeting at 7:30 here at the Central Services Office. There will be a reception for new staff from 7 to 7:30 preceding the board meeting, and certainly community members are welcome to attend that as well. And then September 24th, 2012, a regular board meeting, again, here at Central Services Office at 7:30. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board at this time? Okay. Public participation. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? Okay. The board has determined that it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, or the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of a specific employee of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion. Second.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Powell?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Kennedy?
Yes.
Rhonda?
Yes.
No. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Are we taking action? Will we have any action?
We will have action.
We have one action
when we return.
When we return,
okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Return to open session at 11:31. We have one item to take action on. May I have a motion to approve the leave of absence agreement as discussed in the earlier closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please, Tara.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Vondrak?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard? Yes. Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. We have a motion to adjourn the August 27th Board of Education meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.